Welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. There is so much noise on the interweb these days about what women should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to their fitness and health. Not only is it all too often tied to shame and fixing our bodies, it can also be incredibly detrimental to our health and wellness overall. The Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast sorts through the BS and offers advice and actionable, tactile steps to support and build a better relationship to your amazing body through every stage of womanhood. It aims to break the cycle of keeping women in the dark about their extraordinary machines and revolutionize the way we move, eat, and live so that our daughters and our daughters' daughters look in the mirror and feel exactly what they are: fierce, beautiful, and capable of everything. The revolution starts here.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. We have a slightly later release this week. If you noticed, first of all, I am all sorts of honored, and thank you so much for your patience. And if you didn't notice that we're a little bit late, just pretend I said nothing. But Mango Tango and I had a road trip, I know, from South Carolina to Minnesota, which we are now currently in the middle of just the loveliest March snowstorm. But we did a little road trip at the top of the week, so things got a wee bit pushed back. And I'll tell you what, I know that sitting in a car for 8+ hours a day isn't everyone's cup of tea, but personally, I love me a road trip. 8+ undistracted hours to talk at Margot. He loves it. I'm sort of joking. Anyway, we did this really fun stop through on the final day and spent the night at Wisconsin Dells. If you don't know, now you know, because I got to tell you, I haven't been there at Wisconsin Dells since I was a child, and it was 800% the off season because it is a water park in the Midwest. But if you want a delightfully kitschy, low-key, sort of bizarre getaway, go to a water park town in the Midwest in mid-March, right before a snowstorm, and it feels straight up like you are in the cutest apocalypse movie, which, if you know anything about me, you know I am thinking about the apocalypse all of the time, but like in like a very fun way. Anyway, I digress. So let's get back on track, shall we? But for real, let me know if you've been or have ever explored the Wisdells, because we are definitely going to go back in the summer and I want all your recs. Slash, if you want to come with, hit me up. Let's make it a party. And by party, I mean get ready to go down water slides and do a ropes course. So anyway, that's just a little bit of what's going on or here. But if you have been around this podcast at all, first of all, thank you so very much. You are a freaking rock star. But you have no doubt heard me waxing on about the idea about achieving our goals and that having success in health and fitness is oftentimes best accomplished when we choose one thing to focus on at a time versus focusing on all the things at once and burning out. There is a reason that those lose weight fast programs and 30-day challenges that a lot of us usually explore at the top of the year but are sprinkled all throughout aren't sustainable slash even doable for most of us. We only have so much energy and attention to dedicate to creating new habits in our busy lives. While some of us may be able to push ourselves to the extreme for 30+ days, 90% of us who do hold ourselves accountable for that long find that when we can do something for 30 days, it quickly becomes impossible to sustain for a lifetime, let alone 60 days or 90 days. Slow and steady when it comes to health and fitness and honestly any new habit creation, it wins the race, my friends. I've seen it over and over and over again for over 10 years. And you know what? Heck yes to that, because fitness, nutrition, our health in general is a journey that we get to be on for our entire lifetime. And we have that full lifetime of ours to practice and explore what works. We can leave behind what doesn't, and then we can dust ourselves off and get back on the horse when we need to. Episode 3 of this here podcast was all about setting successful goals for the new year, but let's be real. Goal setting happens all year long when you're doing it right. And episode 9 of this here pod was all about getting back on track with goals when we may have been distracted from them. And it used a system that I created called the ad system that makes it super duper easy just to run your goals through and in 5 minutes have it figured out. So I'm going to link these in the show notes for this ep so you can go back and check those out for additional butt kicking support, especially after listening to and hopefully getting all sorts of inspired after today's episode, which in turn was inspired by many a people over the years. This is one of the most common questions I've received and I still get today. So if I'm focusing on one thing at a time, where do I start? Should I start with fitness or should I start with nutrition? It's a big question. And I just want to call that out right away because I don't want this shorter pod to diminish the fact that these goals are huge. So today I am just going to break it down into sharing two parts of a humble opinion of mine, backed as always by some nerd garble. But the first part is going to be more of the big picture. I wrote quick answer, but it's more just like the generalized answer. And then the second part is going to be my professional pitch because I do have one that I personally prefer recommending people start with. So let's get it poppin'. Exercise the nutrition. Where do I start? So the first part, as I mentioned, is more of a general answer. And it's one that I give to folks, which is simply, which one, exercise or nutrition, do you feel more confident you can stick to? Or another way to put it is, which feels less intimidating to take on right now? One of my favorite mind melds that's traveling around the interweb these days is that a new habit, whatever it is, shouldn't feel super hard to start. Some even go as far as to say that a new habit should feel simple, but I personally think this sets us up to judge ourselves. So I don't want to call it that. I'll even do a future episode about how just because something is simple to understand does not in any way make it easy to implement. But for today's purposes, what I mean here is, especially at the beginning of a health and wellness journey, setting a barrier to entry that's a little bit lower and getting yourself some immediate wins can be hugely, hugely beneficial. And you deserve to thrive. The best way to do this is to choose a slightly smaller goal that doesn't make you want to cry or sleep for 10 days just thinking about it. So just examples. Some early fitness goals could be increasing your daily step count or trying to add a 20-minute walk in 5 times a week. It could be tacking on those 2 30-minute weekly strength training sessions that are so important for building and maintaining muscle and bone health. It could be tacking on 5 days of 5 minutes of daily stretching. Again, starting out, think doable. Maybe you listened to that list and you felt so amped up. You were like, Kinsey, I can do all of those things. First of all, yeah, you can. Secondly, I am pumped that you are pumped. But third, still, just pick one that you are going to focus on. And if the others happen organically, amazing. But don't let doing the most get in the way of doing anything at all. On the other hand, if you listen to that list and you got 30% more tired or felt physically yuck, let's explore some nutrition goals you could start with. My first pitch is always going to be working on eating more protein. Fun fact that we will definitely go into in greater depth another day, but numerous studies have been conducted and shown time and again that participants are able to lose weight. Not that this is what fitness is always about, but it is what I hear for goals almost 80% of the time, so stick with me. But participants have been able to lose weight by keeping their calories at maintenance, so if you're not eating enough habitually, you do have to eat more, and if you're eating too much, obviously, it's a good time to find that maintenance, and that's a whole other topic too, so don't get too in your head here. But the point is, when these studies, the participants were eating at their maintenance calories, they were able to lose weight by sticking to maintenance cals and simply increasing the percentage of calories they ate from protein. And again, losing weight, in my mind, is very far down the list of the benefits that protein gives us, but here's the deal. Protein is used for everything. our muscle build and sustainability, our immune system, metabolism. They build our neurotransmitters, aka our brain function, hormones, enzymes, pretty much everything in our body for the most part is built from amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein. So it is truly incredible. And this is not a podcast about protein. I have one about protein powder and another about exercise nutrition. So feel free to check those out. But that's just my pitch. That's always my pitch when people are looking at a nutrition goal is nutrition is a huge topic. I like to say, just start it simple, focus on protein. But as I said, nutrition and fitness, health is a lifelong journey. So if it feels too cray right now to focus on protein, some other options could be eating 3 meals a day, adding a vegetable into at least 1 meal every single day, trying to cook 1 meal a day versus getting it out of a package, or cut down on total sugar intake, maybe drink more water. When you're near the starting line and you're looking at all the things a healthy body loves, it can feel, and oftentimes does, incredibly intimidating. But again, and I will always say this over and over, your health is a journey for as long as you live, which means you don't need to do it all at once. And I argue in the most supportive of ways, if you're like 99.9% of us, you can't do it all at once. So here is your permission and freedom to pick but one goal, stick to it until it starts becoming a no-brainer, and then jump on the next one. Like I mentioned, I all sorts of recommend going back to listen to the two podcasts that I have on goal setting and reassessment that are going to be linked in this show notes, but I do think it bears repeating over and over and over again. New habits take work. Simple doesn't mean it's easy. Inevitably, you will quote unquote fall off. Part of building a sustainably healthy life is practicing getting back on track when life happens. And that includes being gentle on yourself, as well as learning strategies to get back on track. And finally, getting used to feeling uncomfortable. When I started to add meditation into my daily practice, I started with 15 minutes a day. In my mind, this was a bulletproof goal. 15 minutes. How hard could that possibly be? I stuck with it for over a month, more or less problem free. And then one day, I missed my meditation. And then the next day, I missed it again. And then again. And then again. And then suddenly, a month had gone by and I hadn't meditated. I kept falling into this trap every single day of feeling like I didn't have 15 minutes to spare. I'd tell myself I would do it later, but by the end of the day, I was too tired to meditate. And yeah, I know. Here's the thing. I had spent all of my life not meditating. So even something that in theory is relaxing felt uncomfortable because it was unfamiliar and took energy and focus to build into my full day. And let's be real, sitting with our thoughts can be especially uncomfortable, especially at the beginning. So at first, when I missed all these days in a row of my goal, I was really hard on myself. I blame myself for not being able to do only 15 minutes. I felt lazy and like a failure. I even went through some serious imposter syndrome around not practicing what I had preached with my clients until it dawned on me, this is exactly what I teach my clients about. We are not perfect. Eventually, life happens and we fall off of a routine, even if we've been going hard in the paint. And the most important part of any sustained lifestyle is anticipating that you're going to fall off and then planning for it and then modulating accordingly so that barrier to re-entry doesn't feel impossible. So for me, that was letting go of that 15-minute mark and dropping it to 5 minutes. I was able to sustain that for several months. And when I inevitably, quote unquote, fell off again, I was able to get back on pretty soon because 5 minutes didn't feel nearly as impossible as 15 minutes. It's been 4 years and I'm still meditating pretty much every day. And the cool thing, when I miss a few days, like I did for my road trip, shout out to Wisdells, I don't have a problem sliding it back into my routine because after a few months of consistently showing up, it wasn't uncomfortable. And more importantly, it wasn't unfamiliar anymore. It was as much a part of my day-to-day as brushing my teeth. And the cooler thing, when I did miss days, or do and continue and will in the future, I don't panic or blame myself like I did at first. Adding pressure in that way, at least for me, only leads to debilitating feelings and inaction. The point here is it can be easy, and I understand, to look at someone like me who works in the world of fitness and say, of course it's easy for you to show up to your workouts and eat well. It's your job. But everyone has something that they have to break into bite-sized pieces in order to create a new habit. Whether it's creating a sustainable fitness routine, eating intentionally, renovating a kitchen, finishing a dissertation, saving for a trip to Europe, meditating, the approach is always the same. Bite-sized piece upon bite-sized piece. And for the record, I was the opposite of consistent with exercise for most of my life. Heck, I was the opposite of exercising for a lot of it. And then it took me about 5-6 years of nailing an exercise routine before I even considered messing with my nutrition. And now I don't think about either. Okay, I should say there are plenty of days that I wake up and I don't feel like working out. Or maybe I feel like eating a bag of chips and lying in bed. But I know from experience how much better I feel when I take care of my body. Plus, like meditation, getting up and going to the gym and grabbing healthy food is just what I do now. It's become, with work, the consistent practice of showing up. It's just who I am now. It's like going to work, except the hard part is we're not getting paid for it. But it's one of those things, right? I don't always, even now when I love my job, there are some days that I'm like, yeah, it would feel really good just to like binge watch The Magicians and chill on the couch. But I always show up for my job, and I imagine you're probably the same. So I like to compare new habits to feeling like those moments where it can feel hard to do, and then we at first just have to practice doing it anyway. And that's why something simple isn't necessarily easy. It does take a little bit of work to get ourselves doing something that isn't already in our routine. So ask yourself, what feels approachable for you today? What road bumps do you see arising? And how can you plan to get back on track when they inevitably arise? So that's my general take. I would rather have you start something literally right meow than not start anything because that something you picked feels like Mount freaking Everest. Second, my more dialed intake, and again, this is my humble suggestion, so you pick what works for you, but what I have for what I tell folks who have a little extra time to chat, LOL, is I recommend starting with the fitness side of things. And I have a few reasons for starting with fitness. One of the biggest and simplest concepts as to why is that when it comes to fitness versus nutrition lifestyle changes, fitness oftentimes is a little less complicated. It takes far less time because we only implement it several times a week, unless our goal, for example, is a daily stretch or walk. But even then, we're talking under an hour a day and usually under 20 or even 10 minutes a day versus 3+ times a day for our nutrition goals. This gives you a little more wiggle room to build in confidence, which is a huge part of developing a healthy lifestyle, the confidence and belief that we are worth taking care of. If your goal, for example, is to start out with 3 30-minute strength training workouts each week and you miss your Tuesday workout, you still have Wednesday through Sunday to fit that puppy in. Another great way to make habits stick initially is to set yourself up for success. It feels good to win. If you are constantly finishing off weeks without hitting your weekly goals, it can get really easy to feel defeated and hopeless and start reinforcing to ourselves that it's too hard or not the right time or it's just not for me. Versus setting a goal we can accomplish, which allows us to build that level of self-esteem and confidence around meeting our goals and taking action on our health and feeling capable of caring for ourselves. It feels so good to get to the end of the day or week having done something we said we would. Even that 5-minute meditation I talked about earlier felt like a freaking success when I got to the end of the day and took time to appreciate it, especially after having felt disappointed in myself the month before that I couldn't stick with it. Those little 5-minute wins helped me rebuild my confidence around it. Another reason I suggest starting with fitness over nutrition is because nutrition is oftentimes tied up with a lot of emotions. This is not to say, by the way, that there are no feelings of shame or unworthiness that come up with fitness. There are most certainly are. And a healthy, sustainable life dives into mindset and relationship to self as diligently as it does to movement and food. That's why if you've been around and heard me talk about the reps model I use with clients, the P in the reps model is perseverance. It's all about building a relationship to yourself to not only overcome hard things, but to work with your body, to trust your body, and to feel gratitude for your body as you continue to overcome difficult things. However, fitness is, again, 2 to 5 days of working on this mindset piece versus every single day, multiple times a day, like nutrition is. We can start building an amazing relationship with ourselves and learn how worth supporting we are and learn how to be gentle while simultaneously being in awe of the things we're accomplishing that oftentimes we never even thought were possible when it comes to maintaining a consistent fitness regimen. This tenacity and self-love can be a huge support system when it comes to start being intentional with our food. As we start to work through limiting beliefs, maybe eating more than we feel comfortable with, or tackling why, even when we know in our heart it isn't beneficial for us, we binge a bag of cookies right before bed. If we can explore that from a place of love, our road to health becomes far gentler and far, far more sustainable. And this leads me to the last, I guess, sort of like soft skill that I found before we get into the scientific reason that I'm pushing exercise. And that is, in the last 10 years of coaching, both one-on-one and in group fitness settings, I have noticed a reoccurring chain of events that happens over and over again. A person starts working out for the first time or for the first time in a while, and they start to feel stronger in their body and they get excited about their new energy levels and lifestyles. And where 1 or 6 or 12 months ago, this person never even dreamt about lifting a weight, now they want to learn more about how to support their body or their gains or their health journey. And they start to ask me about questions on their nutrition. Without even consciously realizing it, they're now ready to add another layer of health. I cannot count the number of times that this has happened, and it is so cool. And just to differentiate this, they are approaching me from a place of wanting to support their body versus punishing it. A lot of times when we're in that restriction mindset, it's oftentimes, and I'm speaking from experience with myself as well as clients, coming from a place of trying to quote unquote fix our body. This progression is much more about realizing how incredible their machines are and wanting to do more and more to take themselves to the next level. It is such a different mindset, and it is so sustainable and amazing. And no, it isn't everyone. We all have our own way of moving through life, but the snowball effect of wanting to make choices that are good for us is one of the most common and my favorite fitness phenomena that I see over and over. So now the science, in case that wasn't enough for you. One of the most common issues with just nutrition in general for many of us, and again, this is a very big topic, so I'm watering this down hugely, but a big thing that a lot of people struggle with on the inside is blood sugar dysregulation. And TBH, this is a huge issue that I feel like we don't really hear nearly enough about, considering how much it affects everything we do and how we live. And I know I talk about her all the time, but here's the deal. Erin Holt, the Funk with a K, Chanel nutritionist, is one of my favorite practitioners. She is my favorite practitioner out there. She's just my favorite and a straight up goddess status in my book. And she also has an incredible wealth of free resources around information on high and low blood sugar, both how to recognize if you potentially have blood sugar dysregulation, which, spoiler, most of us do. She strategizes what you can do to stabilize your blood sugar. She's just got a ton of free resources that you can dive into, and a lot of pods that are a varying length, so you can go as deep into it as you want or surface scratch. So I will go ahead and link her podcast in the show notes, and I, as always, 10 out of 10 recommend dropping deep into her podcast. Point here is a higher percentage of muscle mass, which we get from working out and resistance training, assists with blood sugar regulation because muscle uses glucose, which is sugar, in our blood without the assistance of insulin. Don't worry, if this is sounding nerdy, just stick with me. Even cooler, our muscles continue to uptake that glucose, so that sugar, out of our bloodstream for up to 2 days after our workouts, which is why it's a huge reason that exercise can be incredibly beneficial to folks who are in a diabetic state. I'm going to kick it to my girl, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. You know, she's another one of my all-time heroes, and she is an exceptional resource with tens of thousands of clinical hours working with obese and geriatric populations. Her book, Forever Strong, is a must-read and hold on to for constant reference. And she puts it this way: to understand how muscle helps drive metabolism and why its effect is so important, it helps to grasp three core concepts. One, glucose, that's the sugar, becomes toxic to our body when too much remains in our bloodstream for too long, that is, more than 2 hours. We call this disease state diabetes. Two, insulin, which, just by the way, is a hormone made up of proteins. Remember back when I said protein is hella important? Anyway, insulin is the body's main mechanism for removing glucose from the bloodstream, so taking it out so it doesn't become toxic and moving it into our cells to get used for energy. Sorry, that was another aside. She'd put it way better than me. Three, a root cause of obesity and related diseases, including type 2 diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, impaired fertility, among other conditions, is decreased insulin sensitivity, also known as insulin resistance. Now, here's where exercise comes in. Muscle contraction during both aerobic and resistance training stimulates the uptake of glucose without any need for insulin's assistance. So just to recap that, when we have too much glucose in our blood and we're also insulin resistant, so if insulin moves glucose out of our blood and into our cells, but we have so much glucose in our blood that the insulin starts to not be able to do its job as much and it actually starts to become resistant to the glucose, more blood or sugar ends up in our blood. And remember, that's how we get to those disease states. Muscle, even if we're battling with insulin resistance and we're not using the glucose as naturally as we do with our insulin, muscles use glucose without needing insulin. So even if you struggle with insulin resistance, if you, for example, have diabetes, having lean muscle mass uses that excess glucose in your blood and can actually help to regulate your blood sugar. And again, this is not where my expertise is, but the more that we can regulate our blood sugar, the more we can start to regulate our insulin sensitivity. Check out Erin Holt. She's a baddie. She'll explain it even better. And again, Forever Strong, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, is action-packed. It's a quick read, and it changes the way you will think about your muscles. So one more major side note. If you've gone back and forth over and over again when it comes to getting started with fitness, or have found yourself just straight up throwing in the towel and saying, exercise just isn't for me, please consider reading Forever Strong or listening to the audiobook and listening to the previous episodes on this podcast, and let us change your beautiful mind. Exercise, moving our body, resistance training is for everyone. I got you. I'm also going to put a link into the show notes with the beginner's guide to strength training so that you can take yourself on this journey. And I'm always here as a resource. As always, feel free to reach out at Kinsey@RaiderFitAcademy.com with any questions. And I am here to cheer you on, support you, do podcasts on common questions. So I'm here for you. Okay, back to the podcast. Another benefit of focusing on lean muscle build instead, or first rather, is that excess fat, we all probably know, gets stored in our adipose tissue, which is our fat tissue, but it also gets stored in our muscles, which creates a marbling effect. Yeah, if you think marbling sounds familiar, it is exactly like that delicious slab of beef. Studies show that marbled muscle is a strong indicator of morbidity across the board. And the craziest part of this is that a person can actually have a BMI, body mass index, within the healthy range, which is a whole other topic for another podcast that I'm hoping to bring an expert in on. But when a human is inactive, even if they're in quote unquote the healthy range, they can still suffer from muscle marbling, which increases their chance of morbidity across the board. This affects both our overall strength, which is especially important as we age because we start to lose strength like whoa, and our metabolic health. Lean muscle mass, or so the way that we get on the other side of muscle marbling is building lean muscle tissue, resistance training, protein, hot dog. Anyway, lean muscle mass is also our most calorically expensive tissue, so it increases your overall calorie burn throughout the day. That's right. It increases the calories we burn literally just by existing. Lean muscle is a baddie. And if that isn't enough, it also helps increase the nutrient uptake from our food. So we utilize more of the good stuff we're putting in our bodies. So my point, I'm so happy you asked, is that healthy muscle helps utilize and support your intentional nutrition tenfold, which is why if you can kind of get the ball rolling here, your nutritional goals in the future will be supported in an even bigger way. If we are going to get uncomfortable and make changes that are going to change our life in the best way possible, why not get the most bang for our buck? So there you have it, folks. My 8.5 cents on which to start with, fitness or nutrition. First, health is a lifelong journey. Pick one health goal at a time and rock it until it becomes a no-brainer part of your day, like brushing your teeth, and then add on. Second, pick whatever goal feels most achievable to you right now. Plan ahead for the time when the road bumps will inevitably come, and plan on how to get back on track when they do. And then thirdsies, my humble opinion, explore fitness as a goal first, because muscle is a motherfudging queen. As always, my beautiful raiders, I hope you got a whole lot of something out of this podcast. If you did, it would mean the world to me if you like, shared, and or reviewed. It is how this little podcast gets out into the world and helps women take control of their health and kick diet culture square in the teeth. I also realized recently on a road trip that a lot of podcasts read reviews at the end of episodes, and I kind of love it. So I'm going to start doing that. Today, I wanted to read a quick review from Gold Goddess Kundalini, who said, "Yes, so excited for this podcast. We need more good information on women's health and physiology." To which I say, "Heck yeah to that, Gold Goddess." And to everyone else who has written a review so far, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I will be reading yours on upcoming podcasts, and I truly cannot thank you enough for not just taking the time to listen, which is already beyond incredible, but to share a review. My raiders, here is to happy, healthy, strong AF bodies, because you are so freaking worth it. Until next time, aroo!